fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today I want to continue making our way through Romans chapter 8. If you had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been looking at this chapter. The church brings a whole section or sections of St. Paul's letter to the Romans to us at Mass each day. These days taking us through this very important, inspiring, powerful, life-transforming letter, but a difficult one in places. But this particular chapter, which the church touched on earlier in the week, is, I think, the crown of the whole thing. The beauty of chapter 8 of Romans is one of the most powerful, beautiful chapters of the entire Bible, filled with life-changing truth that if we take it to heart, it'll change our experience of life right here, right now, as well as set us on the course of the great call to holiness and mission that the Lord has given to each and every one of us, every single person who's baptized into Christ. Before I get started, I want to remind you tonight on EWTN television at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is Crossing the Goal, men's show, and as well on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6:30 a.m., I believe it is, on Monday morning. Okay, verse 18, chapter 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that has been revealed to us. Now, this line follows directly from Paul's conclusion in the previous section where he said that, you know, each one of us now is a child of God, and the Spirit of Christ cries out within us. The Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, within us, and confirms in us that we're sons and daughters of God. Jesus is putting within us his affection for the Father, his love for the Father, reordering our hearts, putting our hearts on the right track that is God-directed, not sin-directed or self-directed, but God-directed. And he said, by virtue of that Spirit that's present in us, we're sons and daughters of God. And the sons of daughters of God, we're not aliens or strangers. We're heirs, actually, to the entire kingdom that belongs to Jesus Christ and that he's won for us by becoming one of us, shedding his blood, dying on a cross, winning the victory over the power of sin and death, subduing the flesh, breaking its power, and now giving us that same power. As Paul said earlier, this: if the Spirit of that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, that Spirit will raise you from the dead, but it's not going to raise you into vapor or into the clouds. It's going to raise you into the glory of God, into the presence of the person of God, the Father, your Maker, your Creator, and sharing in the glory with all the saints and angels that belongs to Jesus Christ. But at the end of that section, Paul said, he said that we are heirs with him if we're willing to suffer with him. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I talked quite a bit at the end of the program about this very verse. If you haven't heard, go to our website at renewalministries.net. If you have a minute today, you can listen to the archive programs there. And while you're there, you can browse the website. A lot of wonderful stuff there that'll really help you grow in your life in Christ and discern God's calling and the place he wants you to serve in his kingdom. So Paul said, you have to embrace the suffering that comes to us, knowing that the Lord will use us. But then in verse 18, he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So Paul said, yeah, suffering is going to happen. We don't seek it out, but it will happen by virtue of just being in a fallen world, but also as by virtue of our being disciples of Christ, because Jesus said to us, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And if you're the closer we're united to Jesus and the more we bear his image, the more we're going to experience the hostility of this world. This world is not our home. It's fallen. It was made to be a home for us, a home of communion with God and sharing with one another, but it's fallen. And God's good creation, we don't abandon it, but we understand what it is and what it isn't. This is a war zone from a spiritual perspective, not just, you know, the military battles we see and the wars that seem to always be with us and never seem to end. But on a deeper level, there's spiritual warfare that's going on. There's a battle for souls that's happening in this world, for human beings, for the hearts and minds of human beings. And so Paul is saying here, this suffering, though it's difficult, he said, the suffering of the present time is not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Remember, in whatever trial you're in today, whatever brokenness, whatever battle, whatever hostility, whatever pain you're suffering, listen to Paul's exhortation, and let's follow the footsteps of the apostles and the saints who always kept the end in view. The Holy Spirit wants to help each one of us be able to grasp, to get a taste for the life of the kingdom to come and the glory that will be ours, the prize, the share, the kingdom, the inheritance that's ours in Christ. The suffering is real, but it's nothing compared to the glory that's going to come. I think St. Therese or St. Teresa of Avila said, you know, that all the suffering on this earth will, when we see the Lord, and compared to what the eternity that's ours and all that we're going to be given, it's like one night in a bad hotel. I mean, it seems suffering when we're in the midst of it seems like it's difficult and it's never going to end. But friends, even the thing we fear most, death, Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of it. I'm here. I've swallowed up death in victory. I'm bigger than death. My life is in you. I have the power to bring you to life. And it's just a passageway now. You're going to pass with me from death to life, and I'm going to bring you home. So you're safe in my hands. So don't be afraid. Verse 19, he said, for the creation itself waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation itself is going to be renewed. That's what Paul's point is here, that all of God's creation is going to be renewed when the Son of God comes again and it fully establishes the reign of God in the new creation. He said, for creation was subjected to futility. That is what? To frustration. Nothing in creation can reach its fulfillment. You can't, I can't, creation itself cannot. Why? Because it's fallen and it's under domination of the enemy and of forces that are set against the kingdom of God. And so it's subject to futility. Why futility? Because it can't reach it, the purpose for which it's made on its own resources. Not of its own will, but of the will of him who subjected it in hope. So God subjected the world. In Genesis, when sin happened, when Adam and Eve rebelled, what did God say? Adam put himself under a curse. Eve, you know, there'll be suffering, there'll be trial in this world. This is no longer your friendly home, but it's a place of hostility. But the subjection which God has brought the world under in discipline is not going to last forever, but it's subjected in hope. And God's subjection is a discipline. God disciplines those whom he loves, and he wants to bring us back to himself, to the freedom of sons and daughters of God. He said, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain to the glorious liberty of the children of God. All of creation decays. It cannot last forever. But the same power that brings us to life, the same power that brought creation into being in the first place, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made and for whom all things were made, he will give, creation itself is going to be renewed by the command, by the word of his command. The glorious King who is the head of the new creation is going to bring about the final destruction of all hostility to God, and all the powers of death and decay will be destroyed. And Jesus will bring about the transformation of creation itself. He said that we know the whole of creation. This is verse 22. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning in travail together until now. Thinking of Eve in the garden, that she will groan in giving birth, and travail is part of the discipline. It's just all of creation, not just Eve, but in every way. We're not home. We're not complete. We can't reach our final purpose here. So there's a groaning, and we can't make it happen on our own. He said, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That full adoption, friends, will happen when Jesus Christ raises us from the dead bodily and we receive our glorious body, our glorified body that shares in Jesus' reign and his glory. That's when complete freedom will take place. Verse 24, for in this hope we are saved. And that's a beautiful line. Is your heart filled with hope? Are you a person of hope? If you're in Christ, you ought to be a person of hope. And if you're living in discouragement and despair, something's wrong. Lay hold and meditate on the truth that's revealed to us just in this section of the Bible, in chapter 8 of Romans, and beg the Holy Spirit to help you see, to grant you the eyes of faith, and at the core of your being, you would hear the voice of God saying to you, you're my son, you're my daughter. You're destined to be with me forever. I'm with you always. I will never abandon you. I'll never forsake you. Verse 24 again, for in hope we were saved. Hope is what? The confident expectation of the fulfillment of all that God has purposed for us. What is that? What do we see in faith? Faith we see Jesus Christ risen from the dead. We see Christ in glory exalted at the right hand of the Father. We see our destiny in Jesus. And hope is that confidence that what we see in Jesus will be ours. It's an expectation that by God's power, by God's command, by God's plan, you are going to share in everything that belongs to Jesus. Why? Because he loves you, he's died for you, and he wants to give it to you. He said, now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not yet see, we wait for it with patience. This is a constant theme for Paul, the reminding us of the hope that's ours and the confidence that we're given in God. In Hebrews chapter 1, he touches on the similar thing. He says, as it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to God. We hope for that, right? We don't yet see it all. But what do we see? He said, we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, but now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of his death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. What do we see? Paul says, in faith, we see Jesus Christ crowned in glory. We see the future of the human race in Jesus Christ. We don't see it yet fulfilled right here, right now, but we've been given a foretaste in the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is at work in us, helping us understand that God is our Father. In fact, as Paul said earlier, crying out within us, Abba, Father. Friends, this is the purpose for which every human being was made. We can't miss the significance of this and the great treasure that the church has and the great burden of urgency that she carries to bring this reality, this revelation to every single person. We don't impose this on anybody, but we go forward because love compels us to propose to everyone the clear picture, the reality of what they were made for and the two roads that exist that could be, they're going on one destination or another. And this destination in hope, salvation in Christ, is what everyone is made for. And we in the church carry this precious, these glad tidings of good news that it's simply not an automatic for everyone. Friends, it takes the preaching of the gospel, the communication of this great good news, lived, witnessed, and proclaimed, moving out into the world. Now's our time. Do you see, friends, how important this is? That if people don't know this and they die without the knowledge of Christ, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing. So the Spirit wants to stir us up to be confident in hope of the salvation that we're given and that we know now where we're headed. And we want to bring with us as many people as we possibly can. That's your calling too, friend. Embrace it and live it every day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.